Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Page 7, OAOA.com. Registered sex offender charged with online solicitation of minor. OA News at OAOA.com. A 33-year-old registered sex offender was arrested after he reportedly used Snapchat to send nude images and request nude images from an 11-year-old girl. Randy McCoy was charged with online solicitation of a minor, a second-degree felony. Odessa Police Department officers were dispatched about an online solicitation of a minor by a person suspected of being a family member and a registered sex offender at 9:08 p.m. June 9th to the unit block of Antebellum Court, an OPD probable cause affidavit stated. The complainant reportedly found out that a person by the Snapchat display name of Randy Rodriguez was communicating with an 11-year-old girl. Randy Rodriguez was later identified as McCoy, who is the complainant's cousin. Officers were provided the messages between the 11-year-old and username Homeland 2.0, where the username Homeland 2.0 requested nude images of the girl, the affidavit stated. The actor sent nude images to the girl in exchange for the images she provided. On June 22nd, a search warrant of the username Homeland 2.0 was reportedly requested and submitted to the social media platform Snapchat Incorporated. Results of the Snapchat search warrant was returned on October 22nd for username Homeland 2.0 that showed communication between the 11-year-old and Homeland 2.0 took place as reported, and the user account reflected an email address and phone number. The Texas Sex Offender Registry reflected the email address and phone number used for the creation of the Snapchat account, Homeland 2.0, was the same email address and phone number that was most currently reported by McCoy, sex offender, to Lubbock Police Department as part of his requirements of reporting as a sex offender, the affidavit detailed. According to the Texas Public Sex Offender Registry, McCoy was convicted of aggravated sexual assault of a child on August 6, 2006. McCoy assaulted a 13-year-old girl. McCoy was booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center on Friday, jail records show. He has one bond totaling $30,000 and was still in custody as of Monday afternoon. Police investigating car pedestrian crash. OA News at OAOA.com. An Odessa man is in critical condition following a major crash that occurred Saturday night in southeast Odessa. On November 14th at about 6:43 p.m., Odessa Police and Odessa Fire Rescue responded to 8th Street and Grandview Avenue about a major crash involving a pedestrian, a news release said. Investigation revealed that a black Dodge pickup being operated by Carissa Rojas Vargas, 27, of Odessa, was traveling eastbound in the 2000 block of East 8th Street, the release stated. A pedestrian, identified as Tino Nevarez, 61, of Odessa, was attempting to cross the 2000 block of East 8th Street, not at a crosswalk. Investigation revealed that Nevarez failed to yield the right-of-way and was struck by the Dodge pickup, the release said. Nevarez was transported to a local hospital with life-threatening injuries. There were no reports of any other injuries, and the investigation continues, the release said. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, November 17th, 2020. Obituary. Val D. Wilcox, Odessa. Val Wilcox, age 93, of Odessa, Texas, passed on Wednesday, November 11th, 2020. Val was born in Hopkins County, near Sulphur Springs, Texas. Val was a veteran serving his country from 1942 to 1946, stationed in the Philippines. Val grew up as a sharecropper, only attending school through eighth grade. However, he was a strong advocate for college education. He moved to Odessa in 1950 to begin his career in air conditioning and remained until his death. Val was preceded in death by his mother, Leslie Bowles, brother R. Ray Wilcox, daughter Valerie Wilcox, father Ben Wilcox, brother Trudeau Wilcox, wife of 47 years Doris May Brehan Wilcox, until her death in 1996. Val is survived by children Debbie Davis and her husband Bruce Davis, Conrad Wilcox and his wife Terry Wilcox, Rochelle Grassi and her husband Brian Grassi, and son Don Wilcox and his wife Holly Wilcox. He also leaves eight grandchildren, Tony Davis, Christina Valderas, Daniel Davis, Matt Wilcox, Cody Franz, Allie Wilcox, Braden Grassi, Zane Wilcox. His ancestry still continues with seven great-grandchildren, Hunter Davis, Devin Davis, Wayne Davis, Brode Davis, Trey Valderas, Trinity Valderas, Connor Davis. During Val's 50-year career in air conditioning, he had several faithful employees, Louis Cleveland, Paul Van Hoff, Sandy Etheridge, Armando Gonzalez, Tommy Christian, and his son, Connor Wilcox. Val was a 50-year member of Lions Club. Val, deacon and elder, was a faithful member who helped establish Westminster Presbyterian Church in Odessa. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. on November 17, 2020, at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home on 601 North Allegheny, Odessa, Texas, 79761. Extended graveside service with military honors will be at Sunset Memorial Gardens, November 18th, 10 a.m. Death notices. Charles Andrews, Odessa. Charles Andrews, 83, died Saturday, November 14th, 2020, in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Michael Patrick Mack, Odessa. Michael Patrick Mack, 30, died Thursday, November 12th, 2020, in Pueblo, Colorado. Services are pending with Ellis Funeral Home of Midland. Joe Carl McQueen, Odessa. Joe Carl McQueen, 64, of Odessa, Texas, died Thursday, November 5th, 2020, in Odessa, Texas. Memorial service is scheduled for Friday at 2 p.m., November 13th, 2020, at St. James Baptist Church. At the family request, the family opted for cremation as an alternative means of burial. Reverend Samuel Buell is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Joyce Carr Miller, Odessa. Joyce Carr Miller, 92, of Odessa, died Sunday, November 15th, 2020, in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m., November 19th, 2020, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, November 3. Start with Trust. Honoring Veterans by Heather Massey, Regional Director of the Better Business Bureau in the Permian Basin. www.bbb.org. BBB, serving the heart of Texas, wants to thank those who have served our country. Veterans face unique difficulties as they return home and re-enter the workforce. Applying for education benefits, filing disability claims, and searching for employment can be a challenging process for military consumers. Unfortunately, scammers are always ready to strike, and according to a 2019 BBB study, military families and veterans lose 32% more to fraud than civilian consumers. Employment scams, the riskiest of scams on BBB's risk report 2 years in a row, also have a larger impact on military consumers. Veterans reported losing an average of $1,905 to employment scams, almost double the amount lost by other consumers. Finding trustworthy sources is the best way to avoid scams in the transition from active duty to civilian life. BBB recommends starting with these organizations. BBB Military Line. BBB Military Line offers free consumer education and financial literacy resources for military families and veterans. U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, VA. VA.gov, the official website for the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, is a hub for materials on every aspect that may impact the transition to civilian life. Information on education benefits, pension, and life insurance can all be found on the Veterans Affairs official website. Veteran Employment Services Office, VESO. VESO offers career opportunity resources within the Department of Veterans Affairs, assisting in the transition from active duty to civilian life. USA Military Assistance. Like the VA, USA Military Assistance provides guidance on a wide variety of areas. For those on active duty, military tax guidance and free credit monitoring can also be found at usa.gov/military-assistance. Veterans Health Administration. An extension of the VA, the Veterans Health Administration, is a healthcare system specifically for veterans. The administration also offers resources for veterans during the COVID-19 crisis. Visit us at bbb.org/military report to find more marketplace tips for military consumers. Pop Spot Event Benefits, West Texas Food Bank, Midland. The Midland Pop Spot is back at it again, bringing a unique shopping experience to Midland. Held at the Barbara and George H.W. Bush Convention Center, the event drew record crowds, raised money for the West Texas Food Bank. The Pop Spot brings pop-up shops from all over the state, and with a nod to a challenging year, the Pop Spot was themed with lemons, and with a twist, told shoppers, "When life gives you lemons, come shop with us." The Pop Spot kicked off with a preview party the evening before, where shoppers enjoyed lemon-themed cocktails from Rebecca Creek and a chance to leisurely browse over 30 pop-up shops from vendors ranging from home decor to hats. The ticketed preview event was held to benefit the West Texas Food Bank, which received a percentage of the proceeds. The Pop Spot concluded the next day with over 1,000 shoppers throughout the entire event. When co-founder Stacy Cross and I first came up with the idea for the Pop Spot, we knew we wanted to not only bring something unique to the community, but also to find a way to highlight and support a local nonprofit, said Claire Ramirez, co-founder of the Midland Pop Spot. The event has grown beyond our wildest expectations, and we are able to bring something truly unique to Midland. And with this last event, we were able to donate to the West Texas Food Bank and help provide around 20,000 extra meals to hungry West Texans. The Midland Pop Spot event was so much fun, said Libby Campbell, executive director of the West Texas Food Bank. People are ready to get back to their regular lives, so events like this offer an opportunity to do just that, and their support of the food bank is the cherry on top. I am so thankful to Stacy and Claire for bringing such a fun event to Midland and supporting the West Texas Food Bank. The Midland Pop Spot would like to invite everyone to attend the November Pop Spot, which will be the biggest yet and will be a great way to get your holiday shopping done early. The smell of pine is in the air. Parks Legato Town Center Christmas Market opens Friday. by Lee Scheid. 'Tis the season, and Parks Legato Town Center is getting an early start. The annual Christmas tree market will be held on 3 consecutive weekends, beginning at 6 p.m. Friday. The event again benefits the Permian High School Band. The event showcases Christmas trees from Wisconsin, along with wreaths and garlands from Minnesota, allowing residents of West Texas a chance to experience the sights and smells of the holiday a little earlier than usual. There also will be a vendor's market on the first 2 Saturdays, similar to the farmer's market held at the town center. Saturday nights are our big nights, said event organizer Trace Notley. We have the town center decorated for Christmas with our vendors and Santa. Notley is with the Sewell Family of Companies, the sponsor of the event. There will be over 200 trees, some of them pre-ordered, that we will have out on the plaza. As we sell them, we'll bring more out to replace them. The first year, Notley added, all the trees were sold, while last year there were some left over. He is hoping for a repeat of the inaugural event in 2018 and said that there should be 30 or more vendors on site. Vendors have until November 18th to sign up, and Notley would like them to commit to both Saturdays, November 21st and November 28th. The event benefits the Permian Band. Safety is also important at this year's event. We have asked all of the vendors to be mindful of the COVID-19 situation, and we will have monitors, said Notley, who is also a member of the UTPB football team. All the students, parents, and booster club members will be masked, and the event is outside, so it's a much safer environment. Santa will be wearing a mask too, but the trees, just the smell is phenomenal, and we're looking forward to seeing everyone. Parks Legato Christmas Tree Market, 6 to 10 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. November 21st, 1 to 6 p.m. November 22nd, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. November 27th and 28th, 1 to 6 p.m. November 29th, 6 to 10 p.m. December 4th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. December 5th. At Parks Legato Town Center, 7260 East Highway 191. What? Fresh-cut Christmas trees from Wisconsin, handmade decorated wreaths and garlands from Minnesota, hot chocolate, Christmas snack shack, photo opportunities, Thomas the Train rides, November 21st and November 28th, 6 to 9 p.m. Santa, November 21st, 27th, 28th, 6 to 8 p.m. Vendors Market, November 21st and November 28th, 4 to 8 p.m. Text TREES to 31996 for updates. Education Partnership moves forward on Power Bags and Smart Start by Ruth Campbell. The Education Partnership of the Permian Basin is moving forward on its Power Bag initiative and working to create Smart Start Permian Basin to try to further tie their efforts together. Education Partnership of the Permian Basin Executive Director Adrian Vega said United Way of Midland applied to be a Smart Start community a couple of years ago. Smart Start Texas is a partnership between the United Ways of Texas and Texas PBS created to support the Texas communities that are part of the campaign for grade level reading, as well as other Texas cities, to achieve improved reading scores across the state, the Smart Start Texas Communities website states. Chevron and XTO are big supporters of Power Bags and the Power Initiative, Vega has said. Power stands for the Power of Words and Early Reading. Power Bags are part of that. They came out of the partnership's Early Childhood Action Network, and since January, Medical Center Hospital and Odessa Regional Medical Center have been providing the bags to every new mother in the community. Chevron provided the partnership with seed money so it could start working with a grant writer. Right now, we're in the process of applying for grants, and the purpose of those grants then would help support the overall Power Initiative, Vega said. The power bags are step one. The end goal is all about kindergarten readiness. So then when we're talking about connecting the dots in the community in the lifespan of a child, birth to pre-K or to kinder, Vega said. But what would really move the needle is having a person or staff in place. Vega said the organization is working with a grant writer on a consultant basis. The reason we're trying to seek funding is so we can fund some staff, or at least a person, to serve as a power coordinator so that their job every day when they wake up, they are meeting with pediatricians or hospitals or connecting the dots with child care providers or Head Start programs or First Five, things of that nature, to try to tie it all together, Vega said. This would move into eventually becoming a Smart Start region. That's something the partnership is applying for, and Vega said they are just awaiting word on getting the distinction. On the other end, the Texas Impact Network has reached out to us, and the Texas Impact Network is connected to the Commit Partnership, which is out of Dallas, and also Educate Texas. They've asked us to serve as the backbone organization out here in the region with some House Bill 3 initiatives to help some districts work through some of those efforts, such as college, career, military readiness, or teacher incentive allotment. Those initiatives that are connected to House Bill 3. Right now, we're just having conversations, but if some funding comes through for that, then potentially we might be able to get a staff person who their job then would be to focus on those House Bill 3 initiatives and make sure that they're being supported, Vega said. The point I'm making is we're at that point now where we're working with a grant writer. Seeking funding is really necessary for us to take the next step in fulfilling our mission and our aim as an organization, or as a nonprofit organization focused on the improvement and the quality of education in our entire region, cradle to career. Obviously, when we're talking about the region, this extends beyond strictly Odessa. That's why I'm excited about Midland Memorial coming on board with the Power Bag Initiative, because then is really bridging these two communities together, hence the name Education Partnership of the Permian Basin. So we're agnostic to any one entity. We want to see the quality of education in our entire region improve. If you were to look at our vision and our mission, we want to be the highest performing educational region in the state of Texas. We want to build a community where students love to learn, teachers love to teach, and people love to live. Eventually, the partnership hopes to reach out to smaller rural areas and community hospitals. It's really just a matter of, do we have individuals who that's their sole mission and purpose, and that requires funding, Vega said. The target date for Midland Memorial to join the Power Bag Initiative is January 1st, 2021. The estimated cost for all three hospitals is $75,000 to $80,000. There are about 2,500 births each year at ORMC and Medical Center, and approximately 2,600 at Midland Memorial, so that would be about 7,600 babies. We're in the process of raising funds for all three, and actually the funds needed for the Midland bags have already been raised. We're just finalizing the remaining dollars for ORMC and MCH, he said. Local news roundup. Tejana Super Show. The 49th Tejana Super Show has been scheduled for November 22nd at Ector County Coliseum. Doors open to the public from noon to 5 p.m. The Lowrider 2021 sanction event will include cars, trucks, motorcycles, bikes, pedal cars, food vendors, and more. Registration may be made online. To register or for more information, call 337-2189 text 653-3710, email tejano@sbcglobal.net, or visit tejanosupershow.com. Community Christmas Tree. The Pilot Club of Odessa hosts the Community Christmas Tree each year as a way to raise money to provide the highest quality therapy to the patients of Permian Basin Rehabilitation Center. For a donation of $10 or more, a light is lit on the tree in honor or in memory of someone special, and their name is published in the paper Christmas Day. Friends and family of those honored or memorialized join us for the tree lighting ceremony. One rehab center patient is chosen each year to light the tree, which glows each evening from the end of November through early January. To donate, visit pbrehab.org/pilot-club-community-christmas-tree. Give yourself. The West Texas Food Bank is excited to partner with Jumburrito for the 11th year in a row in their continuing commitment to feeding hungry West Texans. This year's fundraiser motto is Give Yourself. Beginning Monday, for every Jumburrito Revolutionary Rewards card visit, Jumburrito will donate 2 meals to West Texas Food Bank. Between November 13th and December 17th, Jumburrito has pledged to donate 50 cents for each rewards card visit, which is enough for West Texas Food Bank to provide 2 meals to a person in need. If you are not a member of the Jumburrito Rewards Program already, signing up is quick and easy, and the benefits go way beyond free food. Not only is Jumburrito providing the West Texas Food Bank 2 meals for each customer who presents their Jumburrito Rewards card, but each customer who presents their rewards card will be entered into a drawing for 1,000 reward points. Last year's promotion raised $11,403 and provided 45,612 meals. Wedding photos needed. Ellen Knoll Art Museum, 4909 East University, is looking for people in the community to lend theirs or their family's wedding portraits to get the chance to be featured in the exhibition Betrothed, 250 Years of Wedding Fashion from the Stephen Porterfield Collection. The deadline has been extended through today. The opening will be December 3rd. There are only 40 spots available. Photos must be framed and ready to hang. The final photos will be chosen by Porterfield. Please do not drop off your photos at the museum until you are contacted. To digitally submit your photo for consideration, email curator@knollartmuseum.org along with a short history, dimensions of the frame, and a copy of the photo. Visit knollartmuseum.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Monday, November 16th, 2020. This article is entitled Driving 101. The following is the first of a series of questions that we have asked the Midland Police Department about driving around town. On Loop 250 exits, there are no longer yield signs for cars on the access road. Do I still have to yield for cars coming off the loop? MPD answer. Transportation code 545.154. An operator on an access or feeder road of a limited access or controlled access highway shall yield the right of way to a vehicle entering or about to enter the access road or feeder road from the highway, or leaving or about to leave the access feeder road to enter the highway. This law covers all entrance and exit ramps, even if there are no yield signs. However, there is an unwritten exception. When traffic exiting the freeway has its own added lane that is separated from the other frontage roads with a double white line, then no yield is required. The double white line is considered an official traffic control device. This is because the double white line forces exiting vehicles into their own lane on the frontage road and to travel in that lane beyond the intersection of the ramp and frontage road. Therefore, no yielding is required to vehicles exiting Loop 250 onto service roads. This article is entitled OC Vice President to Head MDA by Mary Dearin. Odessa. An Odessa College Vice President has been selected as the new Chief Executive Officer of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. Donald Wood, Vice President of Institutional Effectiveness at OC, previously worked with MDA in research, advising, consulting, fundraising, and marketing, according to a press release from OC. Wood has been at the college for 12 years. He joined the OC faculty in 2008 as an associate professor of biology, later transitioned to associate dean, and then to his current position. From associate professor of biology to vice president, Dr. Wood has made a strong impact on our past, our present, and our future, President Gregory D. Williams said in the release. The fundamental tenets of the Drop Rate Improvement Program, which he researched, implemented, cultivated, and sustained, have become a national model for student success and completion. His legacy will continue at Odessa College, and we wish him the best as he transitions to MDA. On top of all that, he is a tremendous person and friend. He will be missed, Williams said. Wood said that as he begins his new position, his vision for the Muscular Dystrophy Association is for it to become the most effective voluntary health agency in the nation by continuing to build upon its 70-year history. That history is one of path-breaking research, innovative care centers at the nation's top medical institutions, educational programming and services, and through advocacy to provide all people with neuromuscular disease the opportunity to lead accessible, full, and productive lives, he said. Fill the boot. Many Midlanders are familiar with the MDA through the Fill the Boot campaign, in which local firefighters stand on street corners collecting donations for the nonprofit. The International Association of Firefighters and Professional Firefighters Association of Midland, Local 4405, fundraiser for 2020 is a virtual event because of the pandemic. Instead of placing donations in boots held up by Midland firefighters at intersections across the city, residents can donate at filltheboot.donordrive.com/participant/Midland. The virtual campaign continues through the end of the year, said Greg Wells with Midland Local 4405. Their goal is $5,000, according to the website. This is a column called Small Bites. It is entitled Renew Life Church Opens Coffee Shop by J.C. Lewis. River Coffee Company officially opened its doors on November 8th as part of Renew Life Church at 409 South Pecos Street. The coffee shop manager and worship leader, Ray Brodella, said the church wanted to create a space for community in the new building and to bring craft coffee to downtown. We have a prime location here in downtown Midland, so we thought a better way to reach out to the community and the heart behind our church as a whole is creating a healthy community, he said. People love coffee and conversation, so that is how River Coffee Company was put together. The vision behind it was to create a space for community. He said the coffee shop serves locally sourced pastries, including biscotti and cookies from Flower Child Baked Goods, and they will also be partnering with a food truck to add grab-and-go food items for the fridge. The baristas also make handmade syrups for coffee drinks, including pumpkin spice drinks and the newly created Desert Willow drink. One of our specialty drinks right now, which we came up with on Monday, is called Desert Willow, he said. It's a lime and rosemary simple syrup and tonic water with a double shot of espresso poured over the tonic water. It creates a visually pleasing drink. Then there is something about when the crema from the shot mixes with the acid from the tonic water, it creates a velvety foam at the top. He said the Desert Willow looks amazing and tastes even better. The coffee shop is open from 6:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. on Saturdays. Restaurants open for Thanksgiving. Curbside Bistro at 3816 Andrews Highway in Odessa will be open from 11 a.m. to when food runs out. The lunch is free to anyone needing assistance. Cracker Barrel Old Country Store will be open 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. at 3108 North Loop 250 West. IHOP will be open on Thanksgiving with special pumpkin spice pancakes available. The restaurant's two locations are open 24 hours, 7 days a week. Saltgrass will be open for a dine-in turkey dinner from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 4511 Loop 250 Frontage Road. Buffalo Wild Wings will be open 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. at 5107 West Wadley Avenue. Carino's will be open noon to 6 p.m. at 711 Loop 250 Frontage Road. Starbucks locations will be open 4:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Whataburger, open Thursday for 24 hours. This article is entitled, Survey Finds Texas Has About 9,100 New Cases. Associated Press. Austin. Texas logged more than 9,100 new cases Sunday of the coronavirus that causes COVID-19, according to statistics compiled by Johns Hopkins University. The 9,113 new cases boosted to more than 1.052 million the number of Texas cases since the pandemic struck in March, the university reported. The actual number of cases is likely higher because many people have not been tested and people can carry the virus but not feel sick. The university study finds 133 new deaths raised the pandemic death toll for Texas to 19,918. The survey also found 67,168 new cases and 777 new deaths in Texas over the past week. For most people, the coronavirus causes mild or moderate symptoms, such as a fever and a cough, that clear up in 2 to 3 weeks. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia and death. This is the opinion page. This column is entitled, Anxiety Becomes a COVID Symptom, by Kathleen Parker, Washington Post Writers Group. Columbia, South Carolina. As I lay myself down to sleep on Thursday night, I began my usual review of the universe, the meaning of life, the interminable election, and of course COVID-19. My eyes would not close. I reminded myself to breathe. Then I did something my pre-pandemic self would have considered a waste of time. I downloaded a meditation app. It downloaded so slowly, I fell asleep before it finished. Clever. I'm no stranger to anxiety, having experienced it twice weekly for more than 30 years as the next column deadline approached. But my current anxiety is of a different order and reminds me of living in California. Stay with me. When I lived in San Jose, directly over the San Andreas Fault in the mid-1980s, I was always slightly anxious, if unconsciously. I had a baby, and my workplace was 10 miles from home. What if an earthquake hit, and I couldn't get to him? I would have sprinted all the way home, obviously. Not until I moved back east did I realize the extent of my earthquake stress. In Florida, where hurricanes provide plenty of warning, I began to notice that I was more relaxed. I felt my shoulders drop an inch or two. They'd been hanging around my ears like boulders of worry for 4 years. I slept better than I had in years and began each day grateful that the ground was firm. The coronavirus has brought restlessness back. It hovers over us like a bird of prey, scouting for a vulnerable form of life. Yes, I've given anthropomorphic form to COVID-19. But even doctors and scientists are doing it. I've heard CNN's Sanjay Gupta say dozens of times, the virus doesn't care. I'd like not to care about COVID-19 in return, but we must. The challenge for scientists, doctors, and political leaders is to sustain a manageable level of concern without inducing extra anxiety. I'd like to tell you that yoga does the trick for me, but it's really vodka. Apparently, drinking is on the rise, and smoking is making a comeback, according to Marlboro maker Altria. Google searches for anxiety in the past week reached a 16-year high, according to the data analytical company DataTrek. Meanwhile, searches for restaurant and mall are, shall we say, underperforming. From here, the news gets pretty dreary. We're entering the holiday season and the flu season, and many are contending with celebrating in the absence of friends and loved ones. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says we should only gather outdoors, which is fine if you happen to live in southern climes. But what about folks up north, if any are left? Most seem to have migrated to South Carolina, where local Republicans are worried they'll turn the state from red to blue. Urban apartment life doesn't lend itself well to even small gatherings during a pandemic. But then maybe our trials will make us all more creative and more mindful of our blessings. Given the stakes, it's difficult to understand why some people prefer to put themselves and others at risk rather than to take the simplest precaution. We've heard the mantra hundreds of times: wear a mask, avoid large gatherings, socially distance. We've also heard that if everybody would play nice and keep to themselves for 2 straight weeks, we'd be able to get the pandemic under control. 2 weeks is nothing. And yet there are those who'd rather follow President Donald Trump's example of roaming mask-free and cite his rapid recovery from COVID than surrender to what they consider misguided groupthink. This attitude may be Trump's most diabolical contribution to the United States. Being a curious sort, I'll sometimes ask people why they're not wearing a mask, a risky proposition in itself. Here in the Bible Belt, many say they've put everything in God's hands. But the gift of free will was predicated upon an assumption of intelligent life. Predictions of ongoing spikes in infections and death rates are based on current trends of idiotic behavior, but it isn't ordained that we commit stupidity. Besides, the alternative to voluntary acquiescence is far worse. President-elect Joe Biden has promised to encourage mask mandates and order lockdowns if he has the authority. I'm no more inclined than the next renegade to fall in line. But what say we buck up and end this thing quickly? Otherwise, Democrats may force us to meditate too. This is the news page. This is the obituary column for Monday, November 16th. Kevin Wade Colburn. On Friday, November 13th, 2020, Kevin Wade Colburn, loving husband and father, went to be with his Lord at the age of 57. Wade was born November 30th, 1962, in Midland, Texas, to Wanda and Jim Colburn. Wade married Julie Stewart, his high school sweetheart, in 1987. They have 2 daughters, Blake Marie Colburn and Drew Margaret Colburn, who were both raised in Midland. They now live in Austin and New York, New York, respectively. Wade was divorced for 12 years before he met and married Donna Baxter Satterfield of Midland on May 14, 2016. Donna has 1 daughter, Kristen Satterfield Spencer, and 1 adorable granddaughter, Braylon Rose Spencer, both of Midland. Wade is preceded in death by his father, Jim, his maternal grandparents, Dick and Clara Yielding, and his paternal grandparents, Walter and Marie Colburn. Wade is survived by his mother, Wanda Colburn, brother, Scott Colburn, wife, Donna Colburn, 3 daughters, Blake Colburn, Drew Colburn, and Kristen Satterfield Spencer, granddaughter Braylon Spencer, and Donna's sister and brother-in-law, Terry and Rick Vestal. Graveside service will be held on Tuesday, November 17th at 1 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Hospice at Midland, 911 West Texas Avenue, Midland, 79701. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com.
Appendicitis reveals potential cancer. Dear Dr. Roach, recently I had a sudden onset of appendicitis and was operated on the following day laparoscopically. The surgeon explained to me that the surgery took longer than usual because of scar tissue from a total hysterectomy 10 months earlier. He said my appendix was enlarged and inflamed around the site and had some samples sent for testing on the chance of cancer. This blindsided me. He said if I were positive for cancer, I would be sent to an appendix oncology surgeon. This was totally unexpected and very upsetting. The doctor said not to worry and that I would get the results in 2 weeks. Of course, I can't stop worrying. How common is this and what is the likelihood of this coming to pass? IB. Answer. Cancer of the appendix is very rare, found less than 1% of appendectomies. Sometimes all the cancer cells have been completely removed in the appendectomy, while other times further surgery is done to make sure the cancer is completely gone. Many experts recommend further surgery on all patients with appendix cancer, but this is debated. Abby wrote back to say the test result was negative for cancer and noted, I have always wondered if patients need to know in advance if cancer is a possibility or if the doctor should wait until tests come back and break the bad news only if that comes to pass. I'm not sure which way I lean. In general, I favor giving my patients as much information as possible, and while in this case there was some reason to suspect cancer was more likely, I don't feel telling people about a minuscule risk is helpful. It certainly leads to greater anxiety. I'm curious what readers think and invite comments at my Facebook page, facebook.com/KeithRoachMD. That's KEITHROACHMD, or by email. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475.
Dear Abby, holidays this year inspire thinking outside the gift box. Dear Abby, with the holidays fast approaching, I'm starting to think about shopping. Honestly, I'm tired of shopping for adults who don't need anything. Finding gifts for them becomes more daunting each year. I think gift cards and direct money are tacky Christmas presents. Do you think it would be odd to ask my adult children and other family members to select a charity they would like me to donate to instead of buying them gifts that just take up more room? This year has been hard on many people financially, but most of my family members are lucky enough to still be working through everything that has happened. I think charities could use a boost. New idea in Florida. Dear New Idea, I am sure they could. Your idea is terrific. And it reminded me of a letter I printed many years ago, which I have edited because of space limitations. Read on. Dear Abby, like many families, we have wrestled with the what do we get for people who have everything dilemma. Last year, our family finally hit upon a solution. We discussed it with our grandparents. They agreed it would be more charitable for us to give something to people who lack everyday necessities, so we adopted a battered children's shelter. Those little ones are truly refugees. They need everything from toothbrushes and hairbrushes to baby formula and diapers, not to mention toys and games. To our delight, our neighbors got involved in our project too. For weeks on Thursdays, neighbors would leave donations in a sack by their mailbox, and we would pick them up. Our goal was for every child in that shelter to wake up on Christmas morning to find packages of necessities and a few playthings. The project created so much excitement among our neighbors that we collected enough for two shelters. There were pillows, socks, underwear, bath products, cold medicines, books, towels, baby clothes, etc. Each child also got a large gift basket, including a non-breakable tree ornament to help him or her remember this holiday. The cost was small when spread over so many families, but the rewards couldn't have been greater. We felt our project embodied the true spirit of Christmas. It sensitized our children to the needs of others all year long. Because it was one of the best holidays we have ever had, we're repeating the drive again this year. When people join together, everyone can make a difference. Santa's Helpers in Phoenix. Dear Santa's Helpers, your signature describes you fittingly. With that in mind, I hope readers will be sensitive to the needs of charities in their local communities this year. Because monies that would have ordinarily been donated to local charities may have been diverted in other directions, many charities are having difficulty raising enough to meet their budgets. Remember, folks, charity begins at home, and by that I mean the communities in which you dwell.
Jacqueline Bigger Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Scorpio and a moon in Sagittarius until 10:35 a.m., when the moon enters Capricorn. Happy birthday for Tuesday, November 17, 2020. Mediating, helpful, and responsible, you're the glue that holds us all together. In 2021, your bridge over troubled waters approach works particularly well, and you're super successful returning to an old project that you never finished. If single, you find your mate in 2022. And then you are complete. If attached, everything is in its place, and you simply need to allow spontaneity back in. Leo is very generous towards you. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 4 stars. Be observant concerning new developments affecting your profession. There can be some excitement afoot. Honor your individuality while appreciating what you can learn from associates. Helpful ideas present themselves. Old financial issues need attention. Tonight concludes on a helpful note. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. A meal of fine foreign cuisine followed by mystical music or a foreign film can set the stage for a memorable time with one you would woo. Be patient if negotiating a pay raise. Employ humor and perspective if irritation builds. Tonight, take off. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 5 stars. Networking leads to opportunity. Friends can truly be a blessing. Take time to meditate. A quiet mind knows the right answer. Look to precedent and experience for wise insights as well. A second chance is offered. A reunion may be planned. Tonight, look over mutual resources. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. Today brings genuine sparkle. A new friend offers valuable ideas. Social and financial prospects are better. Be receptive to invitations. With old pals, get both sides of every story. Weigh all issues with care and attention to detail. Tonight, dinner with your most loved one. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 2 stars. A new interest in health arises. Get plenty of fresh water, juices, and healing teas. Add healthy humidity to a dry room by simmering water with a handful of fragrant herbs. Avoid negative people who are psychic vampires. Tonight, don't let your energy be drained. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 5 stars. You'll be at the center of attention. Make sure this generates celebrity rather than notoriety. Accept opportunities for public speaking or sharing your written thoughts. Your natural eloquence opens new doors. Tonight, romance and financial situations are exceptionally promising. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 4 stars. Family members offer ideas about interior decorating, family travel, and household dynamics. Situations regarding relatives grow more relaxed. A new relationship of interesting avocation adds sparkle to your day. Tonight, a family or household meeting in which you speak your mind. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 3 stars. Be aware of events in your neighborhood that could affect you. Clear and thoughtful communication assures future success. A neighbor can be more friendly. Be receptive if siblings plan a surprise or have other suggestions regarding the holiday season. Tonight, answer calls and emails. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Today warns you to be careful of risky ventures suggested by others. If something sounds too good to be true, back off. Your own instincts are the most trustworthy right now. The results of past efforts bear fruit. Tonight, catching up with an old friend. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 5 stars. Much can be accomplished today, but you must focus and release stress in order to do your best. A new position of leadership can be offered unexpectedly. Friendships with those from different cultures can build. Tonight, great for creative writing and other artistic pursuits. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 4 stars. You will feel the urge to help those less fortunate than you. You will also experience a deeper appreciation of ecological concerns and the well-being of wildlife. It is also the perfect day to purchase holiday finery and select gifts. Tonight, early Betty buys. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 5 stars. Today brings a warm and fuzzy influence. Beauty, prosperity, and happiness brighten things. New goals have an appeal. Your social circle expands to include new, interesting people. Cobwebs of confusion that have hovered for over a decade are suddenly brushed away. Tonight, celebrate. Born today, folk singer Gordon Lightfoot, 1938, director Martin Scorsese, 1942, producer Lorne Michaels, 1944.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.